The sermon today is titled God's Last Payday. It's a good story too, though. God's Last Payday. We have several scriptures. We begin with Acts 17 and 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. He's speaking of Christ. He'll use Christ in that judgment. Also in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, death and Hades delivered them up, the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Finally, Romans 14 and 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So when we hear the word payday, using in this sermon, you hear the word payday, I don't know about you, but this is what I think of immediately. You know, that sweet caramel with all those peanuts all over it. And I know y'all enjoy them, because we put little mini candy bars back there, and I think the paydays go first. You know, I look out and they're gone. They're all gone. When I was 11 years old, I made a fortune mowing lawns for folks in my neighborhood. My grandfather had given me his old lawnmower, and I had a little gas can, and I wired it to the handle of the lawnmower, and I'd go up down the street and asking folks whether their yard looked terrible if I could mow their yard for them. I would do the whole yard front and back for $3. And if they couldn't afford the $3, then I'd do the front yard for $1.25. What I loved was that I was paid immediately for my work. I didn't have to wait. Payday was immediate. I loved it. I was so rich. I thought I was. I would take some of that money and I'd give it to my mother to help out at home, and I would keep part of it. Most of the time I was always saving up for the big event in the fall, which is State Fair of Texas, and kids got free tickets from the Dallas School District, and that was a big deal. So I was saving up for the State Fair. Later on, when I was 13, I had a paper route. Any of you guys ever have a paper route? I was 13, I had a paper route. It was the Dallas Morning News. I'd get up at 4:30 every morning, roll the papers, get them all ready, deliver the papers, have them all done by 6 o'clock in the morning. I wasn't paid right away. That was the bad part of being in business for yourself with a paper route. I wasn't paid. I was only paid at the end of the month when I collected funds from every household, from every home, and which had been taking that paper that month. So I worked real hard all month long looking forward to that payday. And it was worth it, because when I was collecting all that money from the folks that were paying me, I knew I had to get enough to pay for my papers, and then everything I got over and above that was my profit. And generally, it was about $45 a month. I was really wealthy then. I mean, I tell you what, I was getting that $45 in 1965. I mean, I was a real wealthy person. Of course, some of that money went to help my mother at home, and I got to keep some of it. And it was good, because I was saving up for my Honda 65 motorcycle. You know, when you're about to turn 14, back in 1966 especially, that was a big deal too. But those paydays were big events in my life that I looked forward to, and they were wonderful. The Bible tells us of two great paydays that are coming. Both of them what I refer to as God's last paydays. They're really two great judgment events. And every person on this earth will attend one of these great judgments. And when you speak of judgment day, when you speak of judgment day in heaven and hell and all that, people often get the wrong idea. I like this little cartoon. The fella there at the gates of heaven is saying, "Ashley, you had a pretty great life, but you were looking down at your phone and you missed it." That's going to be true for a lot of folks. They just look at that phone. They have no idea what's going on around them. But folks have the wrong conception. We talk about judgment day. They have this ideal that all the sinners and all the saved will all appear together before the great throne of God. You'll send some people to hell and some people go to heaven. That's not even scriptural. They think that, but it's not scriptural. Man's eternal destiny is determined on earth, while we're on this earth, according to just one thing. That is what we do with Jesus. Do we put our faith in Him? Do we believe in Him? Do we ask Him to forgive us of our sins? Are we born again? That determines what happens on God's payday, amen? So those two judgment days, Pastor, I'm confused. You're saying there's two. Yes, there's two paydays. Let me give you the list here. The first is the judgment seat of Christ. The second is the great white throne judgment. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians only. Sinners don't appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Only Christians. And at the judgment seat of Christ, Christians will receive their rewards for what they have done in this life for Jesus. All these folks, by the way, that appear before the judgment seat of Christ, their name's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no decision to be made where they're going. They're going to heaven. But before the judgment seat of Christ, Christ hands out the rewards. It's an incredible, wonderful payday for folks that have served Jesus with all their heart. And then the other judgment or payday is the great white throne judgment. And that the only people that appear at the great white throne judgment are the lost. No Christians appear at this judgment. This is a judgment just for the lost only. And God will declare, because their names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they will be condemned to hell to suffer forever because of their rejection of Christ. So judgment day for the Christian is wonderful if they continually have served Christ faithfully. And judgment day for the folks who never believed in Jesus for the remission of their sins, oh, that judgment day will be an awful time. They'll face suffering and separation from God. So we're going to take a minute this morning and examine these two paydays. First of all, what does the Christian's judgment day mean? Well, first, it will mean no condemnation for him. All condemnation passed when the believer came to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness and put their trust in Christ. You're familiar with this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, we certainly deserve to be condemned, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve to be condemned, but on the cross, Jesus Himself took what we deserved. He took our punishment on the cross. Because of that, we are now free from the penalty of sin that's been paid by Jesus when He hung on that cross and He bled and He died for us. What a glorious event that was for us. No more condemnation. We're trusting in Jesus now. We'll trust in Jesus at death. We'll trust in Jesus at the judgment, because we are free from condemnation. So one of the things that's so beautiful about before the judgment seat of Christ, when we appear, there is no condemnation. Secondly, it will mean a time of reward. When I was in the fifth grade, I was 10 years old, and I attended Urban Park Elementary School over in Pleasant Grove. And every year, the Dallas Independent School District would have a special program for all the fifth graders. And every one of the elementary schools, every fifth grader of the district were given the opportunity to compete to become the official junior fire marshal for your elementary school. So every fifth grader that wanted to participate was given a fire department safety inspection booklet. And it was for each home that we inspected. And so we would go up to people's homes and knock on the door, tell them that we're competing for the junior fire marshal contest, and we'd like to inspect their home for fire safety. And you hope they'd say yes. And I'd go through their house and look for oily rags stuck in the back of a garage, or open gas cans, or too many items plugged into an extension cord, things like that, that would be a fire hazard. And so I would do those inspections. And so I went every day after school and every Saturday for two straight weeks inspecting as many houses as I could, because the boy or girl that inspected the most got to be on the Mr. Peppermint TV show. So, anybody ever hear that show? Some of you way back got to be on the Mr. Peppermint TV show and receive the reward of recognition by the Dallas Fire Chief. He would put a real junior fire marshal badge on you in front of everybody, and you got that reward. Well, I inspected so many houses. I won it for my school, Auburn Park Elementary School. And I got to go down to the State Fair of Texas and attend the Mr. Peppermint Show and stand there real proud. And the fire marshal from the city of Dallas put that badge on me. It was a great reward. I loved it. And the badge wasn't just a little flimsy thing. It was a heavy, you know, real badge, you know, really substantial, you know. And I treasured that badge. I did. The Bible tells us that at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is handing out rewards for serving Christ while we're on this earth. Our entrance into heaven has already been guaranteed. It was guaranteed when we were born again, wasn't it? We gave our hearts to Jesus. Our entrance into heaven was guaranteed. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But when we stand before Jesus that day, we're going to not only be said to, he'll not only say to us, oh, I love you, you believed in me, come into the mansion I prepared for you, well done, my good and faithful servant, here's your reward. It'll be a whole lot better than that junior fire marshal badge I got that day when I was in the fifth grade. It'll be incredible, rich rewards from Christ. So I ask all of us here today, when you stand before Christ on that day, before the judgment seat of Christ, would you get just puny little rewards? Or would you get rich and wonderful rewards? Some Christians, some folks are just giving God the tiny corners of their lives. Some folks are just giving the Lord the scraps of their time, the scraps of their service and their money, when they ought to be giving Jesus their best. They'll make 1,000 excuses. Folks will make so many excuses. Folks will make excuses why they can't sign up to take 10 minutes to help clean up the fellowship hall in the church. Some folks will make flimsy excuses why they can't sing in the choir. Some folks make excuses why they can't attend Wednesday night worship services or why they don't go to Sunday school. But I will tell you what, those excuses won't be worth anything when you stand before Jesus. Now is the time. Today is the time to give your best for Christ, to give Him all you've got, to anticipate that day when you will face Him at the judgment seat of Christ and He'll hand out the rewards. The next thing we look at is, what does the unsaved man's judgment day mean? It means that the unsaved man will be brought before the great white throne that was referenced in Revelation 20. We read that earlier, where all of his evil works will be revealed and be known. The Bible tells us then that the book of life will be opened, and anyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. I can't imagine the terrors of hell and the length of eternity. Eternity is forever. How foolish it is for any person to go through life rejecting Jesus. Go through life rejecting Christ and come to the end of the way and be lost forever. What does the Bible say that folks will cry out to Jesus, say, Lord, Lord, He'll say, I never knew you. Let's look at some facts about the great white throne judgment. First fact is, as you can see up there, the day has been fixed. Now, we don't know what that day is, but God has marked it. He's marked it on His calendar of eternity. And all of His plans are working toward that specific day and time. And that day and time will come at the end, according to the Bible, at the end of the Great Tribulation. The second thing we know is that a great crowd will be there. All roads do not lead to heaven. We're going through studies on Wednesday nights about alternative religions and false religions. Last Wednesday night, we were looking at Unity Church. The folks at Unity Church in Dallas, I said, it doesn't matter what your religion, long as it blesses you, fulfills you, come and join us. All the pathways to God. We'll all go see God someday. Just come and join us. If you're sincere, doesn't matter what your religion is. Just come. Boy, are they wrong. That they are so wrong. All roads do not lead to heaven. Every lost person who has ever lived on this earth, young and old, rich and poor, the kings of the earth, the mighty men of the ages, they will be there if they rejected Jesus Christ. Those who won fame, those that the world has given great acclaim to, but they've left Christ out of their life, they'll be there. They'll stand before the judgment, the great white throne of God. There's only one way to escape this specific payday of the great white throne judgment. That's to believe on the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for remission of sins. The Bible tells us, in fact, in Matthew 7 and 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. In fact, Jesus said, you know these words, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. How these other folks at Unity Church and these other religions can say, oh, we believe in Christ, we read the Bible, and then reject the very words of Christ, act like they don't matter at all. God help us to remember these truths today. I tell you what else is going to take place. Some folks are going to try to escape this judgment. The Bible tells us that, in fact, in Revelation 6, 15 through 17, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? I will tell you, rocks and mountains cannot hide sinners from God's judgment. Nor can a sinner escape the judgment of God at the great white throne. Our scripture text in Acts we read early tells us the judge is Jesus. A woman came to visit her pastor, and she shared with her pastor how deeply, how intensely she had loved her husband, that she did everything in her life to give of herself to make sure he was happy. She loved him so much. And her heart was just broken because she had just found out that all of that love she poured into this man, that he had given his heart to another woman, that he was going to leave her and divorce her. Well, as she related this story to her pastor, she began to get angry. And she told more and more of the details. Toward the end, she doubled up both of her fists and she said to her pastor, if I had him here now, I would like to take my two hands and crush him to death and cut out his heart and hold it right in front of him. Her mighty love had turned to mighty wrath, hadn't it? Jesus loves you and me more than any man or woman could ever love us. He gave his life for us on that cross. He blessed you and me with life. But if you reject Christ and you give your life to the world, in that day of judgment, his love will indeed turn to wrath. You can escape that wrath, or you can escape it by taking Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, today. Sadly, some people are depending on being good to get to heaven, that their goodness and having good thoughts and having a good heart is going to get them there. And they're going to come to the end of the way only to learn that folks aren't saved by just being good. Folks aren't saved just because they have a right heart and a good heart about things. That doesn't give you access to heaven. There's only one thing. Surrendering your heart and life to Jesus, professing Christ as the Son of God, asking to come into your heart and be your Savior, that is the only method that you get into heaven. The only one. A boy ran away from home. He wanted to go see the big city. And soon he fell into sin, sinful ways. And he began to neglect to even write to his mother to tell his mother how he was doing. She became very concerned and worried about him. She longed to see her son. So she went to the city and searched for him day after day in vain, trying to find her son. And one day, she's walking the streets of the city. She's run over by a car. They took her to the hospital. And she died there just a few hours later after arriving. But before she died, she whispered to one of the nurses, she said, "If you find my boy, tell him that there were two who never gave up on him. Tell him Jesus and his mother never gave up on him." I'll tell you, Jesus will never give up on you. Jesus is always there with his arms open wide. He's always there saying to us, "I love you, I'll forgive you. Don't you want to have a relationship with me?" Listen, your mother and your father could forsake you, but I'll tell you, a loving Savior still longs to have a relationship with you. He longs to hear that prayer. "Oh, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. I put my faith, I put my trust in you." Won't you make sure today that Jesus is your Savior? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for that wonderful love and invitation that you give us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the reminders of the paydays that await all of humanity. For I pray that those that hear this word today, that hear my voice, that their hearts are right with Jesus. They've given their hearts to the Lord. They've trusted in Christ as their Savior. If there's someone hearing my voice that's not sure, and Lord, let them say that prayer with me. "Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. I will love you and I will serve you to my dying day." Oh, let that prayer be prayed. Let souls that are lost find the joy, the peace, and the love and the hope that only Christ can give. Thank you, Father, for that hope. Thank you, Jesus, for that hope. We praise you today. Amen. Amen.